Before we get started today, this podcast episode is sponsored by NinjaBuzz.io. NinjaBuzz.io is a marketplace which lets advertisers and podcasters find each other in a matter of minutes. If you have a podcast, or if you're considering advertising on a podcast, then go to NinjaBuzz.io and check the platform out today. Once again, that's NinjaBuzz.io. Now on to the episode.
You only get knocked into a jukebox by Elvis one time, then you change your life.
Some people, they get the one time and that's the end of their life.
Better quit heroin now, son, or I'll call Elvis to kick you into a freaking jukebox.
Jeez, I wonder what the tally's going to be for Elvis, like, destroying people into jukeboxes. Or fighting people about jukeboxes. Just, if a jukebox is involved in a fight, that will add the counter. Just Elvis plus fight plus jukebox. That is its own counter.
Or
and
is
we
it...
are up to 3 out of 4.
What?
Wait, are we up to... No, that 3 out of 5, there has been a jukebox involved. That is a disturbing trend.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Eat a Fix, a podcast about a couple hyperfixating on obscure pop culture. I'm your co-host, Paul Unger.
And I'm your co-host, Jess Unger.
As a result of my ADHD, I tend to get caught up in hyperfixations easily and often take Jess along for the ride. We've been having too much fun with them, and we thought it was time to share it with you. Maybe you'll be introduced to something new, or find a new appreciation for something you've experienced before. Welcome to the discussion. I'm excited about this one.
Why?
Because every once in a while, you see a movie come along in someone's career, and it's like...
garbage?
No. The architecture for what the rest of their movies are going to be. It is the mold in which all other movies are made from. Unfortunately, in this case, it's more of a Xerox and a Xerox and a Xerox and until it's eventually a mess. But it's exciting when you see that first movie that goes... oh, this person's an action star. Oh, this person's good in musicals. This is this movie for Elvis, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Okay, I look at it as the first dip before we head into the bowels of hell that is coming for his movie career. So this is dip one. The next two are going to bring it back up a little bit because they're particularly good, and then it's going to nosedive into the aforementioned pit of hell, and then it's going to skyrocket back up.
But before we get into the focus of the podcast,
yes,
there was something I wanted to talk about, and it is the current hyperfixation that has kind of been taking over every ounce of free time I've had.
Okay, you've had a few. Which
yes.
one are you referring to at this point?
This one is Bethesda and Obsidian's Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, yes, you've been playing that.
A lot.
Yeah.
I actually was watching a video essay by H. Bomber Guy. It was just something that was playing on in the background because my recommendation is just go to video essays.
Of course they do.
About everything. And his came along, and I've seen it before, but it popped on and something just clicked. I had played New Vegas when it first came out. I'd gone back into it. I spent a lot of time in it Skyrim style, not actually doing the main quest, but just kind of bumming around.
Mm.
And finally, I decided to actually dig in and start exploring the world and diving in, trying to see what sort of like environmental storytelling was done. And it's much more interesting than Fallout 3, which I played to death, and Fallout 4, which I played to death. Actually, we played that together.
We did. I had the accompanying app with me.
Yeah, you were on Pip-Boy duty, keeping me alive.
That was so fun.
But this one is a much more engaging story than both of those, in even the most minute details. But the interesting thing about it that I had completely forgot is it actually ties into the subject matter of our podcast. Because Elvis is in New Vegas, or at least a gang of Elvis impersonators in the post-apocalyptic world of
yes.
Fallout. And that just tickled me pink because all of their quests are Elvis-themed. So there's G.I. Blues, I think another one is Viva Las Vegas.
Of course. And
that was just kind of like a nice cohesion, because usually I think the last one that was going on in between recordings was Scary Animatronics. So that one didn't really have anything to do with Elvis movies.
No, but that's, I mean, an interesting rabbit hole.
Yeah, there's a surprising amount of content, even once you take out Five Nights at Freddy's. But Fallout New Vegas, worth checking out if you haven't. Also, we'll put in a link to the video essay, because that's just...
who he is as a person.
Yep.
I know for myself, I've kind of been bouncing around a few. I've left resin art behind in favor of doll modification.
And that was really interesting.
It's neat. Right now, I'm kind of into a Brussels woman, Poppin Atelier. Anyway, she typically will take Monster High dolls and change them into, like, either Disney princesses, or right now I'm watching one and I'm not finished it. I'm actually eager to. She's turning it into Jessica Rabbit, which is cool. And then on top of that, I am so into all things coffee. It's insane. And I mean, you can attest to this. I am pretty much obsessed right now with making the best cup of coffee I possibly can, because of how necessary it is and how terrible I realized our coffee grinder was. It's not great. So I got a new one, learned techniques, measurements. I'm super into it, and actually my coffee game has improved greatly, and I'm quite proud of it. And thank you, James Hoffman and Morgan Drinks Coffee, for those, I think.
Yeah, the cups of coffee that I've been having have been substantially better, but it does have the inverse side of, now I realize to make a good cup of coffee, I have to put in a lot more work, where if I could just dump in a container of instant coffee into hot water, I used to be okay with that.
And that's fine.
That used to be my jam, and then we've been having good coffee and better grinding techniques and all this stuff, and I can't go back to that now, and I still need my coffee. So now I need to account for, oh, I want a cup of coffee. Well, let's...
what are my options?
Let's plan for the next 20 minutes while I hand grind this and pop it into the French press.
It's okay. Our daughter is very interested in turning the coffee grinder. She likes that mechanism. Yeah. She always wants to... Anyway.
To get to the focus of today's podcast, it's time to return to Lights, Camera, Elvis, the many movies of Elvis Presley. And which movie are we talking about today, Jess?
It is the 1960s mediocre G.I. Blues.
Yeah. I like this one.
Do you?
It's fun.
It is. Okay.
There's some fun parts in it.
There is some fun parts.
It hits a lot of the key things that I like about his movies that we'll get into later.
Okay.
But Jess, are you ready for the tagline in this movie?
Never.
Okay. So we have three.
Okay.
And I have prepared three official taglines that were used during the promotion of this film.
Yes.
And because I have been so disappointed by the creativity of these, I've created two of my own.
Wonderful!
So, the first one, the rollicking story of Americans loving GIs.
Gross. Next.
Swinging out and sound off with Elvis Presley.
Nope. Next.
This is the penultimate one that they've managed to come up with. Are you ready?
Yes.
10 great songs.
Fail.
Yeah, that one is actually, that is phoning it in to the nth degree.
Absolutely.
Because, getting into it later, there's like two. Okay.
Two are good. Okay, so never mind the garbage ones. What did your fascinating brain wrinkles spit out for this?
Okay. You'll stand at attention for this heartthrob.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one, I actually think that this would have been a contender.
Okay.
Don Draper would be proud.
Okay.
All's fair in love and war.
See, that one's perfect.
This is fun. So I think going forward, if I am that thoroughly disappointed by the tagline in the movie, I'm going to come up with my own.
Heck, I might do it too.
Yeah, we should have an advertising off.
We should. Absolutely. Maybe not this time, because I'm too tired to think of anything.
It's perfectly fair. So, Jess, tell us a little bit more about this movie.
Okay, so this movie was released November 23rd, 1960. It was directed by Norman Torog, who directed other such wonderful masterpieces of his, and I use the term loosely, as Double Trouble, Speedway, Live a Little, Love a Little, Tickle Me, oh, that one's one of my favorites, Girls, 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 and Blue Hawaii, which is a fan favorite. And this isn't in the fun facts, so I'm just going to mention it here because I think it's super cool. This was supposed to be directed by the same person who did King Creole, which is Michael Curtiz. Curtiz? No one got back to us on that. Curtiz?
Yeah.
Michael? Anyway, the director who did King Creole. It was supposed to be him.
Oh. That would have been a very different movie, given his entire filmography. I don't think it would have ended up being...
this campy?
Yes. I don't think it would have been so campy.
Yeah. I can't even... my brain won't wrap around what it could have been. It just knows what is, and it's been blunted enough that that's all it needs, I guess. I don't know. So this is starring Elvis Presley, who is top billing. Juliette Prowse, who is a prominent dancer. Robert Ivers, who is one of the only ones who did really anything outside of this movie. He was in The Untouchables. And James Douglas, who again, this was kind of a one-off for him. And in terms of the plot, Tulsa McClain, played by Elvis Presley, is part of a U.S. tank crew stationed in Germany. He and the rest of his crew, which consists of Robert Ivers and James Douglas, play as a band when they're on leave, with the hopes of making it big and opening their very own club in Oklahoma. Strapped for cash and trying to make their dream a reality, they make a bet with another division that Elvis can spend the night with an elusive and supposedly icy nightclub dancer named Lily, played by Juliette Prowse, who is notorious for rejecting every man who makes a pass at her. However, when Elvis starts to catch feelings, he needs to decide if he's going to call it off for his dream of owning a nightclub or make his new dream a life with Lily. Not only does he sing a lot, but Elvis also threatens to judo chop a baby.
And my growing mental list of Elvis parental tips
begins here.
Yes. I'm excited. Might end up being a book by the end of this.
We have a lot of counters going on.
Yes. We will get more into those a little bit later.
Yes.
But yes.
For now.
There are some worrying trends in the creative direction that Elvis movies go in.
I don't know if they're worrying. I find them more entertaining. But anyway, that's besides the point right now. Do you want to hit us with the fun facts this time?
Okay. While Tulsa, Elvis's character, is singing in a bar at one scene, he ends up getting into a fight because one of the other soldiers chooses to put on blue suede shoes on the jukebox.
Which is labeled as by Elvis Presley.
Which is...
meta.
Very meta. The Elvis cinematic universe.
Have you ever seen Tulsa McClain and Elvis in the same room?
You're right, I haven't.
There you go.
All right. And this is, I think, the one and only film that he does that has the cooperation of the U.S. Army.
I think this is the only film in which he is a GI of any kind.
Yeah, he's actually in a tank and was...
bombing things.
Well, he's the 3rd Armored Division in this movie, which is actually the division that he was a part of when he was stationed in Germany.
Yes.
Which is just a whole lot of meta going on so far.
Yep.
And this was the first film released after he was discharged. But with the way that the colonel had it done, when Elvis was drafted, he still had records that were being released and a lot of Elvis merch that was kind of being trickled out.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as his career was concerned, Elvis was never gone after he was drafted. It's really weird because records were being released while he was in the service.
And it was generally to make sure he wasn't going to be forgotten and he would continue to be well received when he came back.
Mm-hmm.
This was also the first, but not the last film, in which Elvis co-stars with one of Frank Sinatra's flames.
Again, that is kind of a bit of a worrying trend.
A little bit. There's only two, though. It's just this one and Frankie and Johnny, where he co-stars with Nancy Sinatra.
Oh.
So.
I wonder if that put him in hot water.
It did, actually. I think for Frankie and Johnny, Frank Sinatra was on set because he was worried about what Elvis might pull with Nancy.
That is scary.
Yes, it is.
So I have a lot of thoughts about this movie.
Okay, cool. So I have seen this multiple times. Had you seen this before in any way, shape, or form?
Yes. Now, I've seen this movie along with some of his other movies because this is the framework that the rest of his middling filmography is based off of.
Yep.
They all kind of blend together as far as Elvis's motives or his character. They're all just kind of one big blob of slicked back hair and charisma.
Yes.
So, I've seen this movie. I had a really hard time differentiating this movie from so many of his other ones. Because the khakis they wears from the army are interchangeable with some of the jumpsuits he wears in some of his other movies. So, it's...
No, it's not. Wait. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Mentally, it's really hard to separate them. It's like that time that we watched both of the Exorcist prequels back to back, and my mind cannot separate those two. I know it's two separate movies. My memory will not let me separate those two.
That's fair.
But that, with all Elvis movies in the center part. I remember King Creole, just fine. Jailhouse Rock, fine. Change of Habit, fine. Everything in this middle section that we're getting into, it's just a mess of memories. So it was nice to kind of get that reminder as to what was going on in this movie. But it does hit my three main components of what I love in an Elvis movie.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. First one.
Yes.
Sassy Elvis.
Oh, that's right. He does make sassy Elvis voice.
Yeah. From Jailhouse Rock on, Elvis is sassy. He's quick with the quips. Love it. He has some pretty good lines.
I'm going to disagree with you because personally, I cannot think of one right now that stands out in my brain. None. None of them.
See, for me, it's all of this back and forth that he has with the sergeant about they loaned him money and then he gets the money back through another deal and he keeps on going back and forth with this money.
Oh, yes. The $300.
So, in this, Elvis is trying to get a nightclub going in Oklahoma with his buddies, which I guess that is a profitable business venture.
It doesn't matter. It's a dream.
And the sergeant has loaned the money with, and this is my second favorite thing,
yep,
with a 50-50 split with an authority figure.
Yes.
Which makes it, this is three movies?
None in Love Me Tender. Yes, in Loving You.
And with Hunk in Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah.
And then with the sergeant in G.I. Blues.
Now, for King Creole, when they're sitting there and there's like one, two, three, four of them in the alley after they've done the robbery and they're splitting everything up, that doesn't count as a 50-50.
No, that wasn't a 50-50
split. No, okay, so we're 3 for 5.
3 for 5, which is, again, a trend. And even though he seems to be conning the sergeant into this money back and forth, it's still a 50-50 split. And then, for number three, the thing that I love the most in any Elvis movie, it is his enrollment into Captain Kirk's School of Cinematic Combat. And there is a tie-in. There's another trend in these fights that I'm now trying to mentally keep track of. Fights involving a jukebox.
Yes.
So, to recount, in this movie, he fights another service member because they play a song on the jukebox. In Jailhouse Rock, he murders a man by punching him into a jukebox.
Yes.
And in Loving You, he
ends up also ending the fight by punching someone into a jukebox, who also returns into this movie with a flat top.
And a less nasally annoying voice.
Yes, so, as one of the guys who's tailing Elvis to make sure he spends the night.
Yeah.
Which is just a weird recycling of the extras, which is now another thing I gotta keep track of to see how many of these people return into the background scenes of movies.
You're gonna start to see a few coming in, especially after the next two. Then you're going to start seeing more.
Yeah, because this director was responsible for quite a few of his movies here.
I believe so, yeah.
So that...
Oh, we just mentioned it. Of course he was. Yes, yes, he was. Affirmative, 100% confirm. Yes, because I read yes.
So I'm looking forward to keeping track of that. But fights involving jukeboxes is also another counter I got to keep track of.
We're 3 for 5.
Which... majority so far. The one thing I will say about this movie is Elvis's one character in the movie.
Tulsa.
He has his buddies who also have their own plots going on.
Yes.
It's like one of the guys is trying to find this girl who iced him when he was in Germany.
Not iced him. He was looking for a girl that
who cut off contact with him.
Yes.
Or, sorry, she ghosted him.
Yes.
I guess is the proper term.
Yeah.
And I don't know slang anymore.
It doesn't matter.
I'm getting old. So she ghosts him, and she's had a baby since then.
His baby since then.
And so one of the plots is these two are going to run off to go get eloped. Because he had all the proper paperwork, and there was a miscommunication between an ex-girlfriend that he had stateside, and she found out about this girl in Germany and said that he's mine, and she didn't think to talk to him about it and just decided to disappear, I guess.
With
the baby.
Yeah.
With him not knowing.
Yeah.
And so that's his own little plot. One of his other buddies who's trying to help him get with Lily is trying to keep her... roommate distracted, Tina, who is Italian, and every time that she comes on to set, especially at the end, I think it was the most notable, that there's like this weird jaunty mandolin that plays that I can't figure out if that is insensitive. I don't know.
No, it is. But what kills me, is that we watched the scene and then you paused it and I looked at you and you said, was there a mandolin that played when Tina came on screen? And I said, what are you talking about? And you rewound it and I watched it. And I was like, oh my gosh. Yes, there is.
Yeah, because there's one guy who's with his German girlfriend, normal soundtrack. Tina comes on with her boyfriend, jaunty mandolin. And then Elvis comes on with Juliet Prowse, and it goes back to regular soundtrack. It is a little cringy, disarming. It's a little... Yeah. I didn't know how to handle that.
I guess it's just like, hey, don't forget. Hey, Tina's Italian. She's not German like the other two. Just that's important. Remember that.
But I did find it funny when Cookie is trying... That's the... guy his who friend.
Ends up with Tina, yeah.
At first, he is just trying to pick up this girl that happens to be at the same club as Lily, Julia Prowse's character. And then when Elvis finally makes it to Lily's apartment, there's Cookie and Tina who are there.
Yes.
And Tulsa and Cookie have this exchange of...
How did you get here?
It wasn't easy.
And they're both kind of like, you're ruining this for me. Which, that's one of those... It was good exchange sort of back and forth that these two are having.
Yes.
This movie was surprisingly a little bit more lewd than some of the others, that it had a few innuendos that I wasn't expecting.
You mean such as...
Hey, it's our last night here. How about get me a date, Dynamite?
Want brunette or redhead?
He wouldn't care if she was bald as long as she wiggles.
Like that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is when we start to see the start of... thirsty lady killer Elvis, who always starts off like girl crazy and then sort of gets more monogamous by the end.
Yeah, which is...
Like, in this one, he starts off having a girlfriend in this one place who's okay being like, okay, I'm getting transferred. Enough of you. Let's go off to the next place.
He had a few he said he needed to say goodbye to.
I mean, just keep your privates private, private.
Sure. Exactly. But yes.
But what were your thoughts? You've seen this movie a bunch. You're revisiting it again. I think this was the first Elvis movie that we actually showed to our children, because it was the first one where we're like, it doesn't really have any dark themes. Elvis doesn't stab a man in an alleyway. We can probably show it to him.
Yeah. I mean, our daughter only sat through about half of it, then she had to go to bed.
Yeah, she just commented that he sang pretty and looked pretty, which, I mean, consensus, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Although she did mention, very briefly, when she found out his name was Tulsa in the movie, she thought it was a girl's name, and I had to explain to her it's actually a place name. And she's like, I don't know, still sounds like a girl's name. Like, okay, sure. My thoughts upon revisiting this are a little bit more superficial, actually. I used to harbor the opinion that Juliet Prowse really wasn't super attractive. She was kind of boring as a co-star. I wasn't really into her, and that kind of marred my whole enjoyment of the movie. But then rewatching it this time, I'm like, I don't know what my problem was. She's actually pretty great. She's cute. She's one of the stronger women, I find, in Elvis's movies. She's kind of all about herself and knows what she's about and does not take flack. Like, will pour beer on your head. Millionaire who could bring in great business for the club or not. Don't make a pass at her. She falls in love on her own terms. So I really liked that. And for the most part, I love the campiness of it. I did not remember how terrible the songs were. They are so, so bad.
So to go back to the tagline of 10 great songs.
Lies.
How many would you say were good?
Two.
Okay. So which two?
Frankfurt Special and Wooden Heart. But Wooden Heart, I would say, is just for nostalgia reasons. It's kind of part of my childhood, so it holds a special place in my heart. Frankfurt Special is actually a bop. That one I can get stuck in my head. No problem.
I would go with three. Still not a good number if the 10 claim is on this movie.
Okay.
So Frankfurt Special, like you.
Yes.
Wooden Heart, solid. That's just a fun track.
Yes.
And G.I. Blues was not that bad. I'm used to the title song. Actually, why don't I? So far, the title songs have been some of the strongest. So, for going through the movies, King Creole, solid song.
Absolutely.
Jailhouse Rock,
solid.
Top tier. Loving You.
Eh. Well, I see, now I can't say that because I was thinking about this the other day. I need to bite my tongue. That is the song I walked down the aisle to when we got married. So it's not a bop, but it's sentimental and I love it.
And then Love Me Tender.
Which, fine, it's a classic, but you're not going to super get that stuck in your head for 3 days straight.
I've had that stuck in my head, but that's just the way my brain works.
Yes.
Point is, so far, the title songs have been pretty great. I'm not going to say they're all bops, but they are all great in their own respect.
Fair. So far, we're 3 for 3 consecutively, I would say. Jailhouse Rock, King Creole, and this one here is pretty good.
Yeah.
I can't think of what the next one is. I don't think there's much singing in the next one. Regardless.
Now, this is a subplot that you've brought up a few times, but with Tulsa's partner, one of his partners, going off and getting eloped.
Yes.
Elvis has to babysit.
Yes.
And this is where you see some very old mentality of people interacting with babies and Elvis's character. Tulsa not being terribly comfortable with how to handle a baby, and going so far as to say at one point is reciting the Army Manual.
Army Manual, Section 43. When in hand-to-hand combat with the enemy, apply judo chop to the back of neck. Oh, if you was only my size, you know.
And the notion of judo chopping a child to put it to sleep, that is worrying, but also I love it. I love that that is what he's saying to this child.
And see, and for me, it was later on when he ends up getting the baby back to Lily's apartment, are still going through, not infancy, but we have an 8-month-old. And we still have to worry about all the safety standards and what can and can't go in the crib and what can they sleep in and what. And here they are, they've pushed two chairs together and the baby is sleeping on a pillow, which already makes me nervous because you're not supposed to do that. And then they give this, I want like 6-7-month-old baby a bottle to hold themselves. And they've fallen asleep and they're trying to put this bottle back in the sleeping child's mouth. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a choking hazard. Please don't. So it's just, and I'm like, okay, things are different back then. Things are different back then. Stop panicking.
See, I look at it and go, this was the time of home chemistry kits and long darts. So yes, it was a Mad Max level time, yes, for children. You didn't know who was going to make it or who accidentally mixed the sulfur with something that they shouldn't.
Yes, this is true. This is true.
For me, I'm able to write that off as just, oh, product of the time. But
as a modern parent, it made me very, very nervous.
Yeah, and the fact that he wakes the child so he can stay in the apartment longer was not the greatest thing.
See, that made you wince.
Yeah.
Visibly.
Well, that was also, we had just gotten our child to sleep, and the notion of going like, hey, wake up, it's just,
absolutely not.
That's nightmarish to me.
Nope.
So the story kind of comes to a climax when Elvis has decided he was going to break up with Lily. Then he got back together with her when she helped him take care of the baby, and his buddies put the bet back on after he called it off because he caught feelings. So Elvis was getting into hot water because he had done this bet and the higher-ups found out about it. His buddies thought because he had gone in there with the baby that he was alone with her. And well, so
not
they,
because he'd gone in with the baby. Well, it's no, that they didn't see the baby. They thought it was a basket and he was bringing in.
So they thought that he was alone with her when he was actually in there with the baby with her.
Yes.
So they think that they won and had enough money to actually start up the club and go ahead with it. Elvis decides to come forward saying, this was the bet. I'm sorry about it. She finds out that the baby wasn't just a ploy and was actually one of his friend's kids. So she forgives him. The higher-ups find out that he wasn't actually alone with her and he had this baby. So technically he lost, so there's no reason to be concerned about it.
Yep.
And they just kind of gloss over the fact that any dream that these three had for starting their club has effectively gone out the window because they lost this bet and the money they had made up to this point to get it off the ground. So they are now in debt.
Oh, but here's the thing. None of that matters because they each respectively found the girl of their dreams.
And it ends with a fourth wall break of Elvis addressing the people there.
Did you ever?
Terrible line because of a terrible song.
It is a problematic song.
Did you ever can just go away and fade into the annals of existence and never return? It's so terrible.
Now, like his other movies there, like Loving You.
Yeah.
And all these other movies coming ahead, there is a good story in this movie.
Okay.
And there were some poor choices made along the way. And it's intriguing as heck to see what the story might have been with another director.
Yep.
With another writer.
Yep.
Because all the elements there with Elvis doing this bet, we've seen this with
a million other movies.
Like the basis of Taming of the Shrew with 10 Things I Hate About You. Yep. That is...
She's all that.
Yeah. There is an archetypal story there that has been done a bunch of times and are some really good movies. Taming the Shrew is a horrible play that has some very horrible implications. But all the movies that were based around it, I like. 10 Things I Hate About You, one of my favorites.
I've never seen it.
We will fix that.
Yeah.
But same thing with having the kid there as being the reason why he needs to call up Lily again. That's a good story. Cookie trying to pick up this girl to eventually try and get her out of the way. He even tries to send her out of the country. He buys her tickets to send her to Italy, which at this point he was already hurrying for money. So I don't know where Cookie is financing this. Like, what is Cookie's secret side hustle? That is a movie in its own right. I just want to know if he's Breaking Bad while in the army.
Oh my god.
But there are some really good story threads that, I don't know, I'm intrigued. I'm compelled to find more.
All right.
But all in all, this was a fun movie. After coming off of King Creole, it definitely starts to pale in comparison, but it is the blueprint of what a lot of Elvis movies are going to be.
It is.
And that's what I was saying at the beginning. I love that. Like, when you see Tom Cruise in his first action movie, and you're like, he's going to do action movies. You see Chris Pratt as Star-Lord, and you're like, oh, heck, I'm actually just thinking of action stars.
I don't know if Chris Pratt is, like, a good example, because he started in one thing, and now he's graduating into others, so.
Well, he started off in that action comedy in Guardians of the Galaxy, and then seeing him in Jurassic World afterwards was not as jarring as if I saw him in Parks and Rec, and then suddenly saw him in that. That would be a tonal dissonance I don't know if my brain could handle.
Fair.
But with Elvis and seeing these movies, I'm like, okay, I see what his career is going forward. A little disappointing, but I'm in for the ride.
Well, and it's starting to get into what he's known for, and he's probably rolling in his grave about it, though. It's unfortunate he wanted so much more for himself. And to be perfectly honest, so did I. As much as one can when one is born after his death. But yes, I would have wanted so much more. What we have is not great.
But there is something good to be found in each one, and that's what I like.
That's true.
And so next time we're going to be taking on Flaming Star.
Flaming Star's next?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was Wild in the Country. Flaming Star.
Came out the same year.
Yay. Wait.
As G.I. Blues.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So going forward, we are going to start grouping some of these movies together that either have a similar theme or tone to them. So we're not going to repeat what we're saying from episode to episode.
Yeah.
So next time we are going to be covering Flaming Star and Wild in the Country.
Oh, I'm so excited. It's like the last P stop before
the highway of
garbage fire.
But the garbage fire that's at least pretty to look at.
A garbage
fire where you're going to find a little gem in there. There's little treasures pockets along the way.
Okay. Like really funny inn names or cool license plates that you see on the horribly boring highway.
This metaphor's kind of falling apart on us.
A little bit. I do have one thing that I have been thinking about and that I'm pretty upset about.
What's that?
Well, I'm referring to what I'm going to call Hot Dog Gate. So you recently went on a trip.
Yes.
And I am horribly lamenting the fact that I did not play hot dog the second you stepped foot back in the house. I am so upset that did not cross my mind. So I'm telling you now that I should have done that, and I'm upset that I didn't, and you're partially lucky it was because our son was sleeping.
If I came home from a 6-hour trip, like a 6-hour drive, and like walked in the door, haggard, tired, just hot dog blaring,
I think I would have gone back in the car and driven till I ran out of gas.
Hashtag bring back hot dog.
I'm making this a thing. I'm making it a thing.
We'll see after we're done flaming Star and Wild in the Country.
Okay.
We'll see how we're doing then.
All right. So we'll call it here. And remember, like what you like, no matter what the mean kids say.
Big thank you to Ethel and the Androids for the use of their song Used to Know You for the intro and the outro. You can find the link to their SoundCloud in the show description, as well as all our links to our social media. And thanks for tuning in and listening to our podcast. If you like the show, be sure to review and subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice.